My name is Ray Buckner, and I'll be talking briefly about the Environmental Public Health Tracking Network Enterprise Architecture and some of the aspects of EA in terms of the tracking program. Okay, by way of agenda, we'll take a look at the Tracking Network Enterprise Architecture, which basically an overview of enterprise architecture. It's really a plan that provides for the program to actually achieve its strategic goals and objectives. It's business driven, which most folks think of EA as being all technology, but we definitely want to link the business to what the technology is providing. And the next item on the agenda will be technology standardization and reuse. We'll talk about the tracking network and all of the technologies and the standards that are involved. The interoperability, data sharing. Then we'll talk about overall program efficiency and effectiveness. From that perspective, how do we utilize what's out there and available so that the program runs efficiently and effectively? We have a summary and then next steps. Okay, let's start at the highest level, the federal enterprise architecture. Basically, this facilitates the interoperability between all of the various initiatives within the federal government. And across the top, you'll see various lines of business. For example, financial management, grants management, and human resources. All of these lines of business are established by OMB. And from that perspective, at the next level, which is the department level of HHS, HHS participates in all the various lines of business as described by OMB. From a line of business perspective or at that level, one of the things that we're paying particular attention to is the federal health architecture. So HHS provides guidelines to the CDC, and then of course we have a CDC EA program that assists all of the various programs in terms of guidance that comes down from HHS. We participate in what's called the HHS Enterprise Architecture Review Board. And as part of that participation, we receive information directly from HHS in terms of all their guidelines and initiatives. So from a tracking network perspective, we're totally linked in all the way through to the federal level in terms of what kinds of standards are out there that we need to be compliant with, and how do we make sure that we're in alignment with all of the goals and objectives all the way to the top. Taking a look at the HHS level, and let's start with the mission to enhance the health and well-being of Americans. From an enterprise architecture perspective, we always like to start with the mission because the key for us is to be able to link the mission into the technology and the underlying technologies that actually support the mission. So if we start at HHS, HHS has established an enterprise architecture program. Now, this program has what we call an EA framework that basically has eight architectural components. The EA framework relates to everything from strategy, business, investments. Then there's the databases, services, technology, facilities, and workforce. So I'm not going to get into any of the details related to that particular framework. But what that framework allows is it allows interoperability between the various layers. And if you have interoperability amongst the layers, that allows you to provide a common set of services across all operating divisions, of which the CDC is one. And also, it provides for a common infrastructure across all the OPDIVs. And then once you combine those two together, you come up with common solutions, which we can reuse various solutions from various components, and then only have unique solutions in those areas where you have requirements that do not actually map into all of the other solutions that may be available, whether it be at the CDC or whether it be at some other operating division. Now, this looks kind of busy, but don't get too disturbed by it. I mean, it kind of disturbs me sometimes when I look at it. But fundamentally what this is we, for all of the programs and all of the IT investments, we actually have to put all of their components into an HHS Enterprise Architecture Repository. So this simply represents a model at the simplest level of a lot of information, for example, that we actually put into the Enterprise Architecture Database at HHS for the tracking network. Now, this, you can say, well, where does all this information come from? Fundamentally, since now OMB is involved as part of as part of all the mandates that have come in, that have come down from an enterprise architecture perspective. The EA, if you notice for your OMB 300s, for those of you that have investments and that are familiar with OMB 300s, all this, it now has EA sections. And those EA sections, whether it be the TRM, Technical Reference Model, BRM, Business Reference Model, and also SRM, Services Reference Model, all of that information related to a particular program or project has to be put into the repository. So we gather that information from the OMB 300, and then we have EA modelers that actually input this information into what we call Metis from a company called True, which is the company that HHS and the modeling tool that HHS uses for the entire HHS program. So just a couple of words about what we have here. The notion of reuse of services. So let me do what Patrick did here, see if I've got a cursor. So over here we have the information exchange packages, and right below that we have various services. So the tracking program, although this is not an exactly up-to-date picture of what we have currently because enterprise architecture is constantly evolving, what you have here, just to give an example, earlier in some of the presentations we talked about SDN. SDN is one of those services that the tracking program actually reuses, meaning for authentication of users, and we also use secure file upload as a component of SDN for those grantees that may not have FIN messaging already deployed so that they can actually get their data into the tracking network. Now, when you combine the services with the things that are the technologies that are components of the tracking network, what happens there is the services that are reused along with all of the various technologies actually support the overall business processes, which at the right here, at the very highest level, we have public health monitoring and public health surveillance. So all of the tools, the services, and everything combined together actually are reused in support of the business processes, which help the overall tracking network achieve its overall mission and objectives. It's enough of that busy diagram. Okay, so next, let's talk a little bit about the focus of tracking network enterprise architecture. There are four items here, and I'll just briefly go over them because we're going to get into each one of these in a little bit more detail. We have technology standardization and reuse. We have interoperability, data sharing, and then overall program efficiency and effectiveness. Now, these are all considered to be concepts of enterprise architecture. They're concepts, they're things that enterprise architecture focuses on, because one of the main things that we try to do from an enterprise architecture perspective is to focus on the optimization of use of resources that are currently available to us so that we can achieve a program that is very efficient and very effective. Okay, technology standardization and reuse. A standards-based approach that promotes and facilitates technology standardization and reuse with the philosophy of we want to reuse those things that are available first, then we want to buy those things that may not be available for us to reuse, and then as a last resort, we actually want to get into coding and building something for specific need. And I'll give examples of each of these in just a minute. Under technology standardization, some things, we always think of technology standards as being specific technologies and specific standards that are defined in some sort of specification. Well, one of the things that was highlighted by the federal health architecture folks is that they actually sent out a notice saying, any program that had standard health information in its contracts, please raise your hand. Now, amazingly enough, the tracking network, I think, was the only program that was actually to raise its hand and said that it had standard health information contracts in its current language, which is really a credit to Patrick and Judy and the entire tracking team and the informatics team in terms of having had the foresight to put this kind of contract language not only in the CITS contract for the development, but also in the contract with the state grantees. So that was really, really well received by the federal health architecture folks. Now, there are two other well, one's a community, the other a standards panel that we actually have to make sure that we keep track of. The AHIC use cases. Currently, AHIC defines a lot of use cases that are a way of standardizing how public health handles and treats various public health information. Also, there's the HITSPE standards panel for interoperability specifications. So one of the jobs of enterprise architecture is to keep track of what is going on both at the use case level as well as at the interoperability standards specification level. So one that we're particularly interested in at this time is the public health case reporting use case. Although it has not been approved at this time, we're expecting it to get approval. Now, once that is approved, then we'll have the job of taking the existing business processes and refining those to meet the new use case that comes out of AHIC. Then we have the Health Information Technology Standards Panel. They have interoperability specifications. The good news here, too, for the tracking network is that having defined a lot of the data in terms of XML on a standards basis, depending upon how the interoperability specifications come out, if in the future the tracking network needs to actually use a protocol such as HL7, I mean, having already had everything in XML standard format, it would not be too difficult then to actually meet the new standards related to HL7 by simply putting the HL7 packaging on top of the current XML messages that have been defined. Now, earlier we mentioned reuse, and we said there were three parts. One example of reuse are the GIS capabilities that the tracking program currently reuses from NCH GRASP, and GRASP is simply the name of the GIS system. Also, and Patrick alluded to this earlier, a COTS product was selected, Business Objects Web Intelligence. And then last but not least, when there was nothing available in terms of row-level security to fit specific business needs, then at that point, development was actually done to take care of row-level security. Interoperability, a consistent methodology and technology for interoperating within CDC, state grantees, and federal partners. And I'm going to go through these just briefly because some of this has been covered previously, but FIN messaging for secure, reliable data transfer, that's interoperability between state grantees and CDC and federal partners that may use the same messaging component. Secure data network for SDN. XML for importing and exporting metadata. The only additional item I'll add to XML is that XML provided for a more robust standard in terms of error checking and in terms of actually giving us information related to what's the cause of the problem. Here recently, we've had lots of data transmissions from state grantees, federal partners, and so forth into the tracking network. Now, in order to make sure that the data gets in the proper context and is properly formatted, we use the XML schemas, but then utilizing XML allows us to actually help isolate where the problem is. And as a result, we can say, hey, wait a minute, you have a space here, you left out a comma there, or whatever the case may be. But using XML actually helps us to determine what the exact area is so that we can help the grantees then resubmit their data and get it approved. Data sharing, evolution, adoption, and exposure of data and vocabulary standards that provide semantic consistency for the tracking program. Some of these items were talked about earlier, FIPS codes for the use for state and county designations within the context of the geographical information that's required. ICD-9, that's the international codes actually that determines exactly what the standards are for the disease and related information. FIN-VADS, that was talked about quite a bit, so I won't get into that very much. Then the EPA Exchange Network, which we are currently using in order to have data transmission or data sharing with the EPA. Use of XML, we've talked about that, as well as XML schemas. So once again, data sharing, there are a lot of standard items that the tracking network currently uses. Overall program efficiency and effectiveness. Leverage the work that has already been done, simplify systems development, and take advantage of economies of scale. Then messaging, we've already talked about the FGDC template, which is related to the metadata template related to geographic data, and also Java frameworks. We haven't said much about best practices, but from an overall development and implementation standpoint, the tracking network has employed a lot of development best practices related to proven Java frameworks such as Spring, Strut, Hibernate, and Strut. Summary. So the best way to summarize this without repeating stuff is just to say this. All of the enterprise architecture concepts and things that are going on within the context of the tracking program are kind of on the edges here, and they all feed into the environmental public health tracking network. And what this creates is, first of all, it creates an IT investment that is in alignment with the CDC enterprise architecture. It's in alignment with the HHS, as well as at the federal level, which creates an investment then from the perspective of OMB that's green. Right now we have a lot of scorecarding that's done, and I'll talk about that in next steps. But whereas each one of the investments, for example, at the CDC and throughout the federal government are rated. Are you green, yellow, or red? Where if you're green, that means from an OMB and a budget and funding perspective, you're in good shape. If you're yellow or red, that's actually an attention getter whereby OMB will say, well, you know, maybe we ought to take a look at that because maybe this is not the best use of federal funds to continue the particular program. So in this particular case, tracking has been green all across the board. Okay, and finally, let's talk a little bit about next steps. In 2008, that's this year, the Office of the National Coordinator actually implemented quarterly health information technology surveys, and each investment actually has to be in compliance with this technology survey. And when ONC did it, then the HHS through the HHS EARB actually sent out further instructions in terms of how to be compliant with this. So on a quarterly basis, the tracking network, we have to respond to the health information technology surveys to make sure that we remain green and to make sure that we comply with whatever the new initiatives might be. In addition to that, HHS has a systems inventory that we also respond to. And then the new thing within HHS is a segment architecture. So from a segment architecture perspective, we have to clearly define where tracking fits within the context of HHS and health monitoring, and also make sure that tracking is aligned with whatever the new segment architecture coming out of HHS may be. We talked a little earlier about AHIC use cases in HITSPE. And one of the things there in terms of next steps is we have business processes that are currently defined, but what we will continue to do is to refine those processes to make sure that we remain in alignment with what's coming out of AHIC as well as HITSPE. And then last but not least, from an overall perspective in terms of the planning, management, governance of the tracking network activities, from an enterprise architecture perspective, it's our goal and objective to make sure that we're in alignment with the CDC EA, the HHS EA, and also the federal enterprise architecture as a whole. Okay, thank you.
Thanks. And we have about 15 minutes for questions, so I'd like to open it up for questions now for the panel. Yes?
Question on the authorization and authentication. Part of the network's goal, as I understood it, is to allow people in one state to possibly access data from another state on a common project. Yep. So imagine two states have signed an agreement sharing certain rights. Do you have to get authorization from two different state offices with two different logins, or
well, it'll be
does
one
it
login.
Transfer to the...
Basically, you would, request access to both of those grantee administrators, and they could grant you a role or associate your one login ID with a role within each of theirs, so it would be available to both.
Yes.
I'm an old epidemiologist, and I guess I'm speaking from the trough of disillusionment. I know that you've been working on this project for 6 years. It's not clear to me what public health problem you're able to solve better, faster, and cheaper as a result of this effort. So I wonder if you could just take another step back and give a little bit more of an overview of the problem you're trying to solve and why you think this is the way to do it.
I'll say it from my perspective as an information technologist. I'll tell you from my perspective as a computer scientist and as the informatics lead on this, and that is essentially the problem is that public health data has been collected for public health uses. Environmental data has been collected for an entirely different use, mostly for regulatory uses. It's stored in different places, different silos, in different formats, and it is hard for researchers and public health practitioners to forget just bringing together a different format of data. Just finding the data is a real problem, and that's you know the real big problem from my eyes that we're trying to solve with this.
Are you talking about health effects data that are
yes.
difficult to find,
or environmental? Judy wants to say something? Sam, you want to talk about this? He has a good example.
I'm no longer a tracking guy anymore. I'm strong, I'm still tracking my friend. I'm a consumer tracking, and I've been an epidemiologist for 10 years. And when I first started, epidemiology came out of a lab background. We would do investigations of health hazards and cancer cluster investigations, things like that. And it'd take us a year to be able to get the data, and process that data, and finally get the report. But, we now have tools that I consume for tracking. I don't, you know, it was involved early in the building of tracking. Now I'm a consumer of it. And I can generate those for my health hazard assessments in days. They are more reliable than they were. And not only that, you know, I can write chapters 2, 3, and 4 for that 5-chapter health hazard assessment we do with ATSDR in a matter of a couple of weeks, where it used to take me, you know, a year to get that done. So there's been a real big benefit to projects at IPI from tracking. In addition, we have found, you know, I was sitting in on the grid technologies. Tracking has become, because it's so forward-thinking, it's become a major laboratory for grid technology development. I thought Utah was kind of unique in that area, but it turns out that we're not. A lot of other grid development is looking at whatever related tracking program they have to see if they can jump onto that as a test bed, a laboratory for those kinds of developments. Because that relationship exists, because tracking exists, something that grid can develop on, it has accelerated grid so that where grid development would have taken 5 or 6 years to get into some producible services, and now it's taking 6 months. So, you know, there's a lot of advantages. I know that it's taken, you know, we see tracking for, you know, 6 years old, but in truth, it's only 2 years old. The first 4 years for us was really just, can we do this? Do we want to do this? Kind of capacity development. The only, the real development for us, or implementation for us, has only been 2 years long, and we've really seen some benefit from it.
That's Sam Lefevre from Utah, by the way. Thank you for that question, Joel.
Sure. If I could kind of follow up, how much, when you're using this information to shorten your workflow, to what extent are you relying on better access to information from inside your own jurisdiction and your own systems? And to what extent are you using it to access information from national levels or other sources that you wouldn't need routinely have access to? How much of it is an internal process improvement and how much an external?
Depends on what the question is. So if it's, if the health hazard assessment is linking cancers, which is internal to us, and, very specific to small geographic areas, to some kind of, say, water issue, water contamination, ground water, which is very small, typically, then we use internal sources, and everything's pretty much internal. If it's looking at, a big fight in one of our neighboring states to the west, I won't mention, about, mercury flow across state boundaries, then we reach the national, which would not have been possible.
Primarily in the states in this project. One thing, a lot of environmental data and health outcome data are really local health one target that we do. In my state, if you go to the state, you're not going to get your full information.
Great question. We structured the grants in such a way that the states were required to work with their local partners. And we're required to have advisory panels and such things because we recognize the fact that all data is local, right?
How timely do these data need to be in the best case scenario? Are you looking for old databases to construct trends? Or are you looking for really timely things like the connection between air quality and asthma attacks?
I think it varies. Obviously, we're not real time, and I wouldn't say we're even really timely in relative to something like BioSense. But we certainly do have air quality information and asthma hospitalization information. But I wouldn't say that it's particularly. You have a comment? Yeah, I wouldn't say that it is particularly really timely.
We need to set up the entire system, get all the agreements in place and so on. But it's on the anvil. It's definitely one of the things.
And that's one of the things Utah's already, we're also in that boat. We're already starting to do demonstration in that arena with air quality and birth outcome, as an example. So this is part of that grid technology. The grid services can use tracking as an experiment that to do things like leaking rods.
Peter, sorry to get.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. A couple of technical questions. I heard that the EPA's data networks, you guys are receiving data from that. So I just wonder what kind of techniques or technologies that you guys employ to do that data input. A second question is related to identity management and the way the SDM managed the identity management is decentralized approach. It's not perfect, but it is what mm-hmm. it is. So with that, and you have 50 states to work with, a lot of different users. So one of the key is that your program will be responsible for saying that this is the right person, skip this guy the access. So how do you plan to do that?
Okay, I'll take the first one, and then I'm gonna hand the second one over to our role-based access guy. We currently use Exchange Network Client. To communicate with the Exchange Network CDX to pull down air data that they've posted on the CDX. So that's the other half of our gateway.
But in terms of the secure connections or secure communications, how does it work? Because that is an important subject for a lot of interagency collaborations, which doesn't exist today because there's no reliable security arrangement that everybody agreed upon. And the federal rate of post is not even anything close to reality.
Agreed. It's right now it's a point-to-point relationship. However, two points on that. Our initial idea for sort of a federated security model was, you know, all the grantees have their own portals, and we wanted a single sign-on. We wanted a single sign-on relationship, and you're exactly right. There is no sort of effort in a single sign-on right now between the federal agencies and the states. And so we won't have that. We'll just have links to portals. The other thing is, what I think you're getting at is an interoperability issue between I'm going to call it a general FIN system, but in our case, we use FINMS, but an interoperability between what the CDC has for secure exchange of information and what the EPA uses. And that's something that we have a MOU with EPA, and we've been working closely with them and with NICFI to try and facilitate. We have had several, over the past year and a half, we've had several conversations with the folks at NICFI and the technical folks from the EPA Exchange Network on, as we're moving architectures forward and moving products forward, how do we find the common ground for interoperability so that these two federal agencies can interoperate and can exchange data on a very easy common level. And so far we haven't found that because they have their business need and we seem to have ours, but it's something that we're still trying to work towards. Craig, you want to talk about the second question?
Stand up.
Let me make sure I understand your question. So basically, SDN will hand us a user ID that you know who they are, but how do we say that, yes, they deserve to be on our network?
We don't know who they are. They come and say, I want access to.
All right, but you'll hand us a name and more, I guess they were talking about, yeah.
And you will be the one to tell us.
Yes or no.
This is the one.
Right.
No.
And it's really easy on a lot of them. Like if they're coming from a particular state or Department of Health, you know, we make a call and it's like, who is this person, et cetera, you vouch for them. The harder ones are, you know, if it's from a university or something. And we're in discussions about exactly how we handle that. Do we have them fingerprinted, signed documents, and et cetera? We don't have the answer exactly yet. It's being worked out. Okay, but you're right, it's going to be complicated, it's going to be difficult, it's going to be...